Okay, so we're on Daf Mem Dalet today. 44a, I'm beginning on the Gimel Beis, page 86, 43b, a few lines from the bottom. Okay, I'm on Eitan. Everybody with me? So the Mishnah says, we did this Mishnah last night, we'll go over again tonight. Arba Achim Nisuin Arba Nashim. If four brothers are married to four wives, so it comes out, and the way Rav Kahati explained it, you have to say there's at least six brothers, but it means that there's been a calamity with four of the brothers. So it's like, God forbid, there was some the car crash. So four of the brothers died. Now there's four widows who are remaining for Yibum. Umeitu, the brothers died. Imratza gadol shvem liyabi mekulan arushup yado. If the oldest of the surviving brothers, well, they're going to be six because I have to have at least more than one surviving brother. He wants to yibum with all four. It's like he got like the bonanza. He ended up with four additional wives. Arushup yado, he could do. And the Gemara is going to explain that, you know, it's assuming that he's in a financial position to take on four wives. Mishenasu l'shtei nashim. If a man was married to two wives, Umeit, and then he died, in other words, we have Reuven was married to Rachel and Bilhah, and then Reuven died, the Yibum or the Chalitza with one of them exempts the other Tara, and it's going to come out that you can't do Yibum with both, you can't do Chalitza with both, you can't do Yibum with one and Chalitza with another, it's either Yibum with one or Chalitza with one. The Gemara will explain why. Okay, wait, let me finish the mission, a few more lines. Top line of Mimdalim and Aleph. Now, if one of the women was Kasher, Lakuna, one Psula, in other words, let's say Reuben was married to two wives, Rachel and Bilhah, and Rachel was a Grusha. She had previously been divorced from a prior marriage. This was her second marriage. And the other is Ksheira. The other one, Bilhah, there's nothing wrong with Bilhah. If the surviving brother is going to do Chalitza, he should rather do Chalitza with the Grusha. In other words, so he shouldn't add on into the pool of people that are Aser to Kohenim. In other words, the Grusha is already Aser to a Kohen. So you have to do Chalitza with one of them. Do Chalitza with the one who's already passed to the Kohenim. And Rashi, let's look at Rashi, the second wide line on top of Rashi. And Bayabim Lachos Chalitza Psula, the Lo Yipsola Lakshera Lakuna. You shouldn't pass the Lakshera for Kuhuna. He says, the Lo Yishpokadam Meboro, a person shouldn't pour out his well water or his cistern water. Other people need the water. Even though he doesn't need it. In other words, don't waste, even though you don't need it. You know, you'll harm other people. And then we'll finish up the Mishnah on the second line. If, again, there were two wives and he wants to Yibam, it means if he chooses, he could do Yibam with the Kshera. He could do Yibam with whichever one he wants. There's no compunction. He doesn't have to Yibam with the Grusha. He wants to Yibam. He's free to do whichever he wants. Okay. Who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did on the Mishnah? Okay. I'm moving on. Okay. Let's see the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Arba Achim Salkadaita. So the Gemara, I explained the Mishnah based on the Maskana of the Gemara. The Gemara initially looks at the Mishnah and sounds like there's four brothers. They all die. So if they all die, who's left to do Yibam or Chalitza? So Arba Achim Salkadaita. I should understand if four of the brothers died, but again, there's at least two brothers who survived. So we said, this Rishut B'Yado was in the beginning of the Mishnah. We said that if he wants to be Miyabim, all of them, he has that option. So the Gemara says, we would permit somebody to do Yibam, we the Bezdin would permit somebody to do Yibam with all four wives. He says, Vahatani, we learn in the Braisa. It says, "V'karulo zikne yiro." So it says, "Kiyishvuachim yachav u'meidacham ehem u'benin lo." If two brothers are dwelling together and one of them dies, so it says, "It says v'karulo zikne yiro that the zkenim of the city will summon him, pain v'lo shluchan." It means they themselves have to summon him and not through a shliach. He says, "V'dibru elav," and they'll speak to him. "L'mei shemasin lo etza hogenim lo." In other words, they're gonna counsel him. They're not just going to go pro forma, you know, do Yibam. We're going to counsel the person. Shemayahu Yeled, but he's a Cana. Let's say he's a young guy, he's 18. The widow is 65. Something like that. Who's a Cana? He's a Yalda, or he's 65 and she's 16. He says, Omrim lo, Malachai til Yalda. We say, listen, we don't think this Shidduch is quite right for you. He says, Malachai til Zakana. Or it's not right because, you know, she's too old for you. He says, he says, you need to look like in people like closer to your age group. He says, Va'al tasim k'tat tab v'etecha. In the Bach has v'al tachnis k'tat tab v'etecha. Don't it's still like fighting in your household. You know, today I was at the Yeshiva Or HaChaim, so one of the Rabbanim who was there was this Rabbi Chaim Kirschenbaum, who teaches at the Touro College based Medrash. Yeah, but he's written some Sfarim. So, right, on the Be'er HaGra. Yeah. So I asked him, I said, you know, why does it have to be a katata? He's old, she's young. Why does it have? He said, you know, it means just like, you know, she wants to go out, she wants to sleep, whatever, she wants that, and he wants to stay at home. You know what I mean? It's like, it just doesn't necessarily. And then I said to him, I said, in Europe, many of the Gedolim would marry women who were substantially younger than themselves. The Chasam Sofer, he was married several times, but I think his last wife was considerably younger than him. He said it wasn't like an ironclad rule. You have to discuss, you know, each situation is the way he took it. It's brought down a Shulchan Aruch like this as well, that in not necessarily in a Yibam situation, that, you know, a Yelid should marry a Zakena and a Zakin shouldn't marry a Yada. Wait, two lines will be good. Now, let's take a look. He says, the issue is here, the problem is one of Parnasa. If you look at the first narrow line of Rashi, Bishav Kinalei, how could the Bezim let him do Yibam? Bitniya v'meyi farnes kulan. How is he going to support four wives? And then if they have kids, even harder to support. So he says, lo tzricha de'ef shalei. So he's talking about a situation, the guy's, you know, well healed, and he could support so many wives. If that's the case, why is the Tana list four wives? He could even, if he's wealthy, he could have 8 or 10. What's going on with that? So Eitz Tova Kamash Malan. So in other words, Agav Orcha, the Tana Mishnah is giving an Eitz Tova, like a nice advice, Arba in Tfelo, that he should max out at four wives, not more than that. It's an interesting topic. It wants to say that now the way Rashi learns that the Ona B'Tama Chacham is from Friday night to Friday night. So if he marries four wives, the one way to understand this Gemara is that Ona means like, you know, intimacy. He's going to service the wives in terms of their intimate needs. So the one way to understand it is that he'll service each wife once a month. In other words, they'll be on a rotation. In other words, each one will have it once during their, you know, their you know, cycle, will get it. So he'll be doing once a week. He'll be getting once a month. That's the one way to understand this. All right, let me do a little piece from this, and then I'll pause in just 1 minute. We have our Daf Digest now. He says, the Mishnah says, if several brothers died childless, there'd be several eligible Yibamos, the oldest surviving brothers, pillage, etc. And the Gemara says about man is obligated to provide his wife, She'er Ksipa Ona, adequate food, clothing, and intimate time. Yavam is advised not to marry more than one Yavama, even if he is the eldest brother, unless he has the means to adequately support multiple wives. And then the Gemara goes on to say, he's advised not to marry more than four Yavama because of Ona. And the Beis Shmuel explains that since the average Veset is 1 month, it is appropriate to provide each wife with Ona at least once during each Veset. That's what he says. Now, Rashi, let's do the Rashi inside first, and I'll be back with this. So let's look at the Rashi. So Rashi says, where's Rashi? Rashi says, Ona b'chodesh, the fourth narrow line in Rashi. Ona shel tamid chacham erev Shabbat erev Shabbat. The Ona b'tamid chacham is from Friday night to Friday night. Based on a pasuk, like its fruit will bear in its proper time, the that everybody gets an ona and bechodesh. So he says here, Rashi said in Gemara in Kesubas on Samach Beis of Days, explains Tamar Chacham, celebrate ona once a week. Thus, if he has more than four wives, he will not provide adequate ona because each wife will receive less than one ona per month. The Gemara in Kesubas states that while ona requires Tamar Chacham is once a week, a poel, a laborer, is obligated to provide ona twice a week. Consequently, a laborer should be able to marry eight yavamot, or eight wives. He provides ona 8 times a month, and thus each of his 8 wives receives a minimum monthly ona. In other words, we're assuming like this is like the donor and the recipient. The man is the donor, and the wife is the recipient. So if he's a tamid chacham, his production is once a week, Friday night. And a woman, the way this mahalach is going, is once a month she's sustained with it. But if he's a poel, so the Gemara learns his ona is twice a week. So that means he can produce, you know, eight wives. So that's the question. So the Rifa points out, however, that this is not so. Wait. I'll pause in just 2 minutes. You're almost there. Okay, Malka, just 1 minute. Just 1 minute.
Just read it slowly, please. Just a little
bit. Okay. All right. So we said that a poel, a laborer, his ona is twice a week. He's going to be intimate with his wife twice a week. A Talmid Chacham once a week. So a Talmid Chacham in a month will have four onot, and a laborer will have eight. So according to that logic, if he's a poel, he can marry up to eight wives, we would think. But the Ritva points out, however, this is not so. For the Gemara indicates that every type of Yavam is advised against marrying more than four Yavamot, even if he's a laborer. In other words, one rule fits all. So he says, the Ritva explains that the requirement of Ona is not the same for Yavam as for an ordinary husband. A Yavam does not perform Yivam because he chooses the Yavam as his wife, but rather because he's obligated to do so by the Torah. Isha Hishechna Lo Min HaShemayim. In other words, it's a different sort of relationship with the Yavama. He says, therefore, even if he's a laborer, he's not obligated to provide more than one owner per week. Consequently, all Yavamim are advised against performing a Yavam with more than four Yavamot, since the required number of ono for all types of Yavamim is only one per week. In other words, it's not the same obligation as for a regular wife, Yavama. In other words, this is Isha Hikna Lo Min HaShemayim, and HaShemayim gave him this wife. And Mimela, he just has to provide. He has to provide each wife just once a week, and you know, there's not more. That's it. The Ravah points out there is another leniency with regard to Yavam's obligation of owners compared to the ordinary husband. He says that when a man marries several wives, he has no right to decrease the frequency of owner for each wife. In other words, in a regular marriage situation, it's not just the donor; it's the donee, and it was the recipient. The wife is entitled to owner once a week. The Talmid Chacham must provide each wife with one owner per week, and a laborer must provide each wife with two owner per week, since he married his wives because of his own choice. He says it's only in the case of Yivam that the frequency of owner of each Yivamot decreases when the Yavam marries more Yivamot. The Yavam is not required to increase his total number of onot when he marries additional Yivamot because, as explained above, he enters the marriage because of the mitzvah, not because of his own choice. So because it's a Yivam situation, so there are certain things that go along with that. I don't have to give more than once a week, and the wife doesn't necessarily have to receive once a week. She could be, you know, once a month. The Rambam disagrees with the Ritva and does not distinguish between the Yavam and an ordinary husband. He rules that even in the case of an ordinary marriage, the husband's total number of required onot is fixed. The Talmid Chacham once a week, labor twice a week, and does not increase when he marries additional wives. So the way the Rambam learns, in other words, we're learning it didn't by Yivam, so we don't do Yivam anymore. The Rambam learns that the Gemara is teaching here that in Achinami, if you marry more than one wife, then the amount of onot that she's receiving, you know, would decrease. But the way the Ritva is learning, it depends, as this is limited to Yibam situation. Normally, you know, every wife is entitled to a set amount of onot. All right. Who's got questions, comments, or thoughts? Okay, Rafi, and then we'll see anybody in the cyber world. Yeah, what's up? No. What did we say? We said four brothers. Each died. Each brother had one wife. Okay. All right. Any questions in the cyber world? Anything here? All right. I'm going to move on. Okay. Let's see. Now, we're back in the Gemara. All right. So we're around 10 lines down. I'm Mdalad Amadala. Misha Nasui Bechule. So we said in the mission letters, we said that if the deceased brother was married to two wives and he dies, so then the obligation of the surviving brother is to do Yibam with one of them or Chalitza with one of them, but not more than that. Let's take a look back on the Gemara. Mishan Asui Bechulei, when the Yabim survives, so the Gemara asks, why can't he do Yibam for both? He's on a roll. Maybe he likes both wives, if Yibam for both. So Amri Bechibar Abba Yochanan, Amar Kro, Asher Liv Nebed Achiv. He says, we say, this is by Chalitza, this is what we're going to do for the man who doesn't want to build up Beit Achiv, his brother's household. He says, builds one bayit. Bayit is also like a code word for a wife. Like the Gemara learns in Ksubis that he would call, you know, Ishto Beito. The wife is called Beito. So Asher Yivneh Beit Achiv, he doesn't build up his father's, his brother's house. You get one bite. You don't get to build two batim. One bite is all you get. One bite out of the apple. So you're not going to do Yibam with both. You're going to Yibam with one. And then the Gemara says, let me get back here. Then the Gemara says, he says, the not floats per bite. So, okay, I can't do Yibam with both, But maybe he could do chalitza with both. For whatever reason, he wants to do chalitza with both. Amar Mar Sitra Bar Tuvia Mar Kra Beit Chalutzanal. So the pasuk says we're going to call him Beit Chalutzanal, like the house of the, you know, loosened shoe, whatever. Beit Achad Hu Cholei Tzvein Cholei Shnei Batim. Similarly, Limud, he only gets to do chalitza with one, not two. Okay, so again, so we thought maybe do even with both, no. Maybe chalitza with both, definitely not. So now the Gemara asks, when Yabim Lachad Benachos Lachada, well, maybe we'll mix and match. Maybe he'll do Yibum with one and Chalitza with another. We want to take care of the brother's household, the wives. So Amar Kra Im Lo Yachpots Chafetz Yabim. So the Gemara says, in terms of Chalitza, that Im Lo Yachpots Yishla Kachet Yibim To. If he doesn't want to do Yibum, then he does Chalitza. But it means he has to at least have the option to do Yibum. So if he did Yibum with one wife, does he have the option to do Yibum with the other one? No. So if he doesn't have the option to Yibum with the other one, he doesn't have the option to do Chalitza, because that's what says, in Lo Yachpots HaIsh, Lakachan Yibim To. Kula Ola Yibum, Ola Chalitza. Whoever is eligible for Yibum is eligible for Chalitza, vis-a-vis the woman. Kul She'ain Ola Yibum, if she's not eligible for Yibum, Ain Ola Chalitza, she's not eligible for Chalitza. So do Yibum with one and Chalitza with one. So I can't do Yibum with both. I can't do Chalitza with both. I can't do Yibum with one and Chalitza with the other. We're cutting out most of the alternatives. Now, va'od shel yomrum bait mixto banui u'mixto kalitz. In addition to which, the Gemara says, we don't want to say that the brother's household was mixto banui, was half built up and half kalitz. So the Gemara says, the yomrum, who cares? So let them say. It says, the Gemara says, either be abe mahadr kalitz hakanami. So the Gemara says, look, if he's going to do Yibum and then do Chalitza, so we said that's a dead letter. Ella Dilma Chalitz Bahadar Miyabim. He says maybe he would do, in other words, maybe let's say he does he'll do Chalitza first and then he'll do Yibum. Bekamli below Yivne. And then Bekamli below Yivne. One second. Give me one second. Okay. Hold it. So the idea was Viomer, what's the harm if he would do Yibum with one and Chalitza with the other? So the Gemara says, Eid Miyav Hadar Chalitz, if he would first take one of the widows in Yibum, then from Chalitza with the other one, Hakanami, there would be no harm with that. So if he does Yibum and then Chalitza, the Gemara says there would no be harm with that. El Dilma Chalitz Vahadar Miyabim. But in other words, they're making a gzeira that you can't do both. You can't do chalitz with one and yibum with the other. So the gzeira is addressed more to the case, dilma chalitz v'hadar miyabin. If he does chalitz with one and yibum with the other one, b'kamli below yivna. In other words, the Torah says, shel yivna beit achiv. In other words, kevin shlobana shuv lo yivna. Once he's elected to do chalitza, then he's chosen not to build his, you know, the household of his brother. So then he's admonished not to, under a law, to do it. So that's the problem. So let's go slowly with it. So let me go back again. So wait a second. So we said, let me just give me one second. So we said, the question was, why can't you do Yibum with one and Chalitza with the other? So we said, to do Yibum with one and Chalitza with the other one, I can't do that way because the second one's not Olalala Yibum, so she's not Olalala Chalitza. And then the Gemara added on, right, that there's a gezeira, and so that's one reason. So Yibum and Chalitza is a dead letter, because once I do Yibum, I can't do Yibum with the other one, so I can't do Chalitza with the other one. That's one thing. In addition to which, there's a gezeira not to do Chalitza after Yibum. In other words, above and beyond that, there is a rabbana not to do Yibum after, not to do Chalitza after Yibum, so people shouldn't say, by mixto banui mixto chalotz. So the Gemara said, well, what's so terrible if they say that? So the Gemara says, if he would do Yibum and then Chalitza, it wouldn't be so terrible if they would say that. But the problem is, if he does Chalitza and then Yibum, so that if he does Chalitza first, then there's a lav that's involved of Kevan Shilobana Shiblo Yivna. That's even worse. That's the more problematical situation. So in other words, like this, we have one issue is, if I do Yibum and then Chalitza, so then when I'm doing the Chalitza, so it's not, she's not subject to Chalitza anymore because she doesn't have the option to do Yibum. But it's not so terrible. I mean, you're doing Chalitza, so you're doing a Maisa. So you see the ritual. So it's not in the partial Chalitza. But if you do chalitza, what's so horrible about that? But then the Gemara adds on, in addition to which there's gzeira derabanan not to do chalitza in that situation. Why is there gzeira derabanan? Because we're afraid of a situation where he'll do chalitza and then yibum. Once he does chalitza, then he's under a lav asher livne beit achiv. So now, if he marries anybody, he's going to transgress a lav by doing the yibum. So once in that case, I'm making gzeira, I'm going to make gzeira for the other case also with yibum and then chalitza. So in other words, chalitza, like it seems like nishka perlach, we would say. Like, it's not, I don't want to say that in Farsi, but it means it's not so chashuv. You know, so he takes a shoe off. You know, who cares who takes the shoe off? But I take shoe off spit, you know, and the whole thing. So what the Gemara wants to say that there's a gzera drabanan, because in the case where you do chalitza first and then yibum, then you're subject to a lav. You know, kevin shlobana shuvul yivne. Okay, now let me see who's here with us. Okay. Who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far?
So what's the love?
Yeah, it says kacha yeyasela isha shelo yibna beit achiv. This will be done to the man who doesn't build up his brother's household. So the Gemara learns out, kamen shlobana shudlo yibna. Once he's elected not to build up the household by taking her in yibum, he's stopped from forever from taking her as a wife or any of the other widows as a wife.
And what if there's a legitimate reason for not taking her?
So he's so fine. He did, that's fine. And he's happy and she's happy.
Does she have the option? Does she have an option of doing chalitza if he at all?
No. Okay, here's a su Ruth. Once they do chalitza, that's it. Gamarnu. Finished. That's it. No more. No, that's it. They're finished. Okay.
I'm asking another question. Does she have the option at some point of doing chalitza at the beginning? She, the woman.
I don't understand what that means. What option would she do?
Does a wife have the option of doing chalitza and refusing him?
No. In other words, he makes the election of remedies. He decides whether to do yibam or chalitza.
I get it. Okay.
Right, okay, and at least on a din Torah, yibum can even be baal korcha, even against her will. On a din Torah, it could be that way. All right, but it's he makes the election of remedies. All right.
The Gemara is asking about people who want to.
Right.
The Gemara is never entertaining the possibility of chalitza and then yibum, because we knew
It could be. All right.
Otherwise, the Gemara doesn't really address it.
Right.
The
only thing is like this. One second. Let me just see.
I didn't hear his. What was his question?
Okay. Just give me 1 second and we'll repeat. Okay. Rabbi Bastali was saying, like, the Gemara doesn't introduce the idea of chalitza first and then yibum second at the beginning of the sugya. But if you look at the Bach, he does have it that way. See, the Bach has an old base. Benachlos lechad and yabim lechada. Let's do chalitza and then yibum. Amar krush levnek. Even in other words, putting the Bach, he puts that front Anyway, but niach whatever way. So whether the Gemara knew it or the Okay. So Rabbi Basali was saying that the Gemara has a working assumption that to do chalitza and yibum, and then yibum is definitely a dead letter. Okay, I'm going to go further than the Gemara now. Now the Gemara says, "Va'ema ki ikachad et kai mitzvah yibum." Now the Gemara wants to entertain the possibility like this: that if there's one widow, so then there'll be the mitzvah of doing yibum. Maybe when there are two widows, there is no mitzvah of yibum. In other words, maybe bechlal. In other words, we learned that you can't do yibum with both, but maybe there is no mitzvah of yibum. When there was two widows, you just drop it and leave it. And we think like that. So the Gemara says, "Im kein tzart erev the asar rachman alamali." So on Daf Gimel, we had a limud that the co-wife of an erva is also not subject to yibum. In other words, remember we had like, where the brother was married to an erva. They have Reuben and Shimon, and let's say Reuben was married to Shimon's daughter. So that's the erva. And then Reuben is also married to another wife. So that Shimon obviously can't do yibum with his daughter. That's an erva, right? That we know. But then the Gemara has a limud that Shimon can't do yibum even with his daughter's co-wife. So the Gemara says, if it would be that when you have two wives, there's no mitzvah yibum. So why do I need the Torah to teach me that the co-wife of an erva is, you know, out the door. And it was one of, that's obviously the two wives. So the hashta shtayim ba'alma amrit lav b'nei chalisa v'ibam ninu. If you tell me two wives are totally out of the parsha, tzara d'erva m'vayis. So certainly tzara d'erva. So the Gemara says, olam alo. Who says that's to be the case? Isrich, I could say that maybe there is no mitzvah with two wives through Yibam or Chalitza, and nevertheless, the limud was necessary. Sachvich amina, because I would have thought, erva ibrai kaima. I would have thought like this, you're right. Two wives, if they have two garden variety wives, there's a mitzvah Yibam with both of them. Or there is a mitzvah, not both of them, there is a mitzvah with Yibam. But when one of them is an erva, the erva is like out of the ballpark. It's like not in the parsha. He says, erva ibrai kaima, but it's yabim saratas. I would have thought, see, the erva is not even like in the parsha. So then I would think that you do Yibam with the remaining wife. So Kamashvalan da Asira. So it could be the Torah is telling me that Kamashvalan, that the Sara is prohibited. In other words, if she's the Sara of an erva. So the Gemara says, El Yivim to Reba. So the Gemara says, so how do I know that there's a mitzvah Yibam when you have two wives? The Gemara learns, says Yivim to twice. So Yivim to teaches me that even when there are two wives, there's a mitzvah of Yibam. Okay? All right, and then a few more lines.
There could have been a possibility.
Right, the Gemara entertained the possibility that when there are two wives, there's no mitzvah Yibam. So Kamash Malan, there is a mitzvah Yibam with two wives.
Exception to that rule because the wife who's never doesn't really count.
And that, in other words, right. In other words, right. That's what I would have thought. Okay, now, back in the Gemara, Itachak Shera, we said if one wife was kosher for a Kohen and one not, in other words, if Reuven was married to one wife, who's a grusha, and one wife who's not a grusha, and he, Shimon, is doing chalitza, he should do chalitza with the grusha, not chalitza with the kosher one. This is Amar of Yosef, Kanshana Rebbe. So Rav Yosef says, here Rebbe taught, and here's the line that we had in Rashi, lo yishpokat ameboro, person shouldn't pour out like good water. He says, v'acherim tzrichon, people need it. Okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything I did so far? Everybody good? Okay. Ruth, you're good. Malka, you're good. Everybody happy in the cyber world?
Everybody's happy.
Yeah, okay. As happy as I can be with you, Vamalt.
All right. Anyway, all right. Let's go on. Now we're ready. Now, let me mention one other thing before we go on. This Tosfos here. Let's take a look at the Tosfos. The second Tosfos on the daf, Kol Sheino Ola, we said that anybody who's not eligible for Yibam is not eligible for Chalitza, right? That's what we said in the Gemara. So let's look at Tosos, pushing a local living in Tomar, Recherish Vecharete, then an Olin Lechalitz of Olin Yibam. So Tosos is asking, you're talking about mute people, they're not eligible for Chalitza because they can't say the script. In other words, you have to say, you know, Lokapasi Lekachta, and, you know, Kacha Yeselish, the whole thing. He says, Kida Amar, Perecherish. So, but nevertheless, the Cherish and the Chareshe could do Yibam. They could do Yibam. So how come we just said if you're not eligible for, in other words, if you're not eligible, you have to be, right, like Rabbi Basali was saying, in other words, it's either you're not eligible for Yibam, you're not eligible for Chalitza, you're not eligible for Chalitza, you're not eligible for Yibam, but here they're not eligible for Chalitza, but they are eligible for Yibam. So Tosho says they are really in the parts of Chalitza, El Tumayuhu Dekaiblu. Their mouths like are like hurting them. In other words, it's a little tricky. In other words, there's a line from the Gemara that their mouths. So if he says he's got a piece here on the Moro and Daf Yomi, we'll do it from the Daf Digest. He says the Magen Avraham writes that a person who is missing his left arm is still permitted to write tefillin. Let's say a person has his arm amputated. The Magen Avraham says he could still write tefillin. Although there is a principle that only those who put on tefillin are authorized to write tefillin, nevertheless, he's considered obligated in the mitzvah and thus permitted to write tefillin. You know, there's a, this is a sad thing, but there's a, you know, the Sefer Mimam Akim, this is written by Carol Libby's cousin, Rabbi, what's his name? Rabbi Asher. All right, the name, I don't remember the name right now, but he was in the Kovnat ghetto and he wrote all these tshuvas like during World War II. And one of his tshuvas is about a fellow, I think, who the Nazis cut off his arm. And he asked, you know, what he should do now with putting on tefillin. Anyway, so he says over here, he says, so assuming that he wouldn't put on tefillin because he doesn't have a left arm anymore. So normally, if you're not in the parsha to to put on tefillin, the other person writes tefillin. But nevertheless, Magen Avraham says he's considered obligated to write tefillin. This ruling indicates that one who's exempt from mitzvah because he's an onus is still considered obligated to the mitzvah. The Avnezer cites an opinion that points to a comment of Tosfos as proof of this principle. This Tosfos works along with that. Tosfos questions how there's two deaf mute people could be obligated to Yibam when, so this is deaf mute. Due to their conditions, they are unable to perform chalitza. The rule is that whoever is subject to Yibam is subject to chalitza. Tosfos answers that deaf mute people are in fact obligated to mitzvah chalitza, but it's considered as if their mouth pains them, causing them inability to speak. This also points to the fact that people who are onus are still considered obligated in this mitzvah. The Avni Nezer, however, challenges this ruling from a comment of the Beis Yosef concerning a deaf person blowing the shofar. The Beis Yosef rules that although a deaf person possesses mental competency, das, he may not blow shofar for others. The reason is that fulfillment of the mitzvah requires the capacity to hear, and since one who's deaf cannot hear, he's not obligated in the mitzvah, consequently cannot perform the mitzvah on behalf of others. This is the case that one who's onus is not obligated in the mitzvah. So we have a stira between the two sugyas. On the one hand, we're saying if through, you know, causes beyond your control, you know, you're not obligated to put on tefillin, nevertheless you can write tefillin. That's what we're saying. And similarly, we said if, you know, forces beyond your control, you can't do chalitza, nevertheless you could do yibum. But on the other hand, by the deaf person with blowing shofar, we say he can't blow shofar because he can't hear. So he can't blow shofar. So let's think about this. Rabbi Tzvi Pesach Frank resolves this contradiction by delineating between the potential to do a mitzvah and the capacity actually to fulfill the mitzvah. Concerning tefillin, the principle is that only those who put on tefillin are authorized to write tefillin. This does not mean one must be physically able to put on tefillin. Rather, the intent is that this person who bears an obligation to wear tefillin. In other words, if I'm in the parsha, I'm chayiv in tefillin, it's just technically I can't put it on over an arm, but I'm a bar chiyuva. Since we are only interested in potential because we are focused on the question of writing tefillin, the fact that he cannot wear tefillin can be ignored. On the other hand, considering a deaf person blowing the shofar for others is required that he should be able to actually fulfill the mitzvah, which he's unable to do. In other words, he wants to say there's a different litmus test in each situation. So by the tefillin, and it sounds like also by chalitza, is do you have the potential, but something is blocking you off? That's where he takes it. But by shofar, you actually have to be able to poel. You actually have to be able to do it. Similarly, regarding a deaf mute performing yibum, it's not necessary for the deaf mute to be able to fulfill the actual mitzvah, especially that he is one who bears an obligation to the mitzvah, and the handicap that prevents him from actually doing the mitzvah can be overlooked. It's an interesting topic, but just for Ara. First is machloket, is it, you know, one mitzvah or two mitzvahs, but even assuming there are two mitzvahs, so let's assume there if there are two mitzvahs, they are the color of the chazit roman in Necha, Tamli Oda Yidecha Vayivu Necha, for Tamli Oda Yidecha Vayivu Necha. Yeah. So the only thing I don't know, in other words, if you're in the parsha, if you're bar kshira, your person is subject to mitzvah of being kosher in the tefillin, then you can write it. The pasuk uktavtam follows uksharatam. So if you're in the parsha of binding it, so I don't know about your question about the shel rosh. Let me leave it on the side. But it says uksharatam. First, it says laod al yedecha by yutzvok ben yedecha. But I'm not sure. Okay, let me move on. All right. Now we're up to the next Mishnah. Okay. Now Manitin, Amachazir Grushato. So Rashi points out, in other words, Reuben was married to Rachel, and Rashi points out Mishanisate. And then he divorces Rachel, then Rachel marries somebody else, Zvulun, and then Zvulun dies or divorces her, and then Reuben remarries Rachel. So he violates the Torah. The Torah says you're not allowed to do that. He's violating a law by remarrying her. And here it's not talking about Yibam, just Samatzir Grushato. Vanose Chalutzato, or if a person marries his Chalutza. So here, that's the law that we spoke about before, Ruth, if you remember. So Kemen Shlobana Shlo Yivna. Once he's elected that he's not going to marry her, that's it for life. You can't marry her. But he violates the law, he does that as well. Vanose Krovat Chalutzato, a person marries a relative of his Chalutza. So lechoram, that would be a din drabanan. In other words, the relative of the chalutza lechoram is din drabanan. Yotzi ba blood mamzer de Rabbi Akiva. So in all these situations, if he did this and he violated the din, so he has to divorce the wife, and the offspring is the mom's heir. So the Gemara is going to ask, so the Gemara is going to explain that according to Rabbi Akiva, your mom's heir, even if you violate a law, that's what it's going to come out. According to Rabbi Akiva has a very chamur shita, and we're going to have this later on, Daf Mtet, the Mishnah goes through the shitot, and Rabbi Akiva holds over there that if you violate a law, the lot is the mom's heir. And the Gemara is going to ask, well, what about the last case, which is, no, say, Krovat Grushato. So Rabbi Akiva learns that that's no, but no say Krovat Chalutzato. So Rabbi Akiva learns that it's not Asher on the bottom level, it's Asher on the Raisa level, it's Lav. And that's where Rav Kahati had it, but we're going to see the Gemara as well. Now, the Chachamim Omrim, the Chachamim say, ain't a Vlad Mamzer. In all those instances, the Chachamim say, it's not a Mamzer, it was just an Easter Lav. He says, Umodim, but the Chachamim agree. The no se krovat gerushato, which the Chorah is not a case that was previously discussed, and the Gemara will bring that up. That in other words, usually modim in a case means A, discuss the case, and now I agree with that case. But the Chorah it's not mentioned, but we'll see. Modim but no se krovat gerushato, the Chachamim agree that if you marry the karov of the grusha, and the karov of the grusha is the karov of your previous wife. So I marry my previous wife's sister. So that's an Easter Kare. That's an Easter Kare. Shavlad Mamzer. They the Chachamim agree that the offspring is a Mamzer. Okay. Any questions, comments to us, what we did so far? Okay, moving on. Now, last narrow line. So the Gemara, Vesaba Rabbi Kiva, no say Kibbutz Lusto Vlad Mamzer. Me and Rabbi Kiva holds that if you marry the Karo, in other words, you were married to Rachel, and now marrying Rachel's either mother or Rachel's sister. We'll say his sister is Leah. So you the blood is a Mamzer, but I'm a Rish Lakish. Reish Lakish, and then this is a chalutza. The chalutza is he did a chalitza with her. So he says, "Va'am Reish Lakish Kanshana Rebbe." Here, Rebbe taught Achot Grusha means the Brei Torah, that the sister of a Grusha is prohibited on a Torah level, and that would be Chiv Karet. Achot Chalutza means the Brei Sofer. Achot Chalutza is a Drabanan. So how could it be that Rebbe Kiva says the blood is a mom's there? I know it's not good that I'm violating the Drabanan. How is the blood of mom's there? So the Gemara says, "Tani Krovat Grusha To." So the Gemara first wants to say that maybe we should understand the Mishnah differently. When it says, Hanose Krovat Chalutzato in the second line of the Mishnah, it really means, they'll say Krovat Gerushato, not Chalutzato, Gerushato. That's what it means. So, Hakinami Mistabra, and that's more, so if it's Krovat Gerushato, so then he's marrying somebody that everybody agrees is a Chiyub Karet, and then the offspring would be a Mamzer, I understand that. Hakinami Mistabra, that's logical, the Katani Seifa, because we learn in the Seifa of the Mishnah, Umodim Benose Krovat Gerushato, Shavalad Mamzer. That's a Chachamim agree with Rabbi Akiva about no say grushat krovat grushato. Yamri b'shleima ayriba hidatani umodim. So if we'll assume that Rabbi Akiva discussed that case, so in other words, Rabbi Akiva discusses three cases. Two of the cases are Easter lavim, and that's with that's maxir grushato and no say chalutzato. That's a lav, and the third case is krovat grushato, and that's an Easter kari. So then, of the three cases, the Chachamim agree with one of them that that's a mom's there. Umodim ela yami lo ariba. But if you say that Rabbi Akiva never discussed that case, which is the way our Mishnah is, like he doesn't discuss it, then all of a sudden they bring the topic up. My umodim. So what do you mean they agree with it? We didn't even discuss that. So v'dilma hakamash malon. No, maybe Taka Rabbi Akiva did not discuss that case, and nevertheless the Chachamim raised that case. Yesh mamzer mechayv krito. In other words, the Chachamim want to emphasize, we do not agree with you that there's an Easter mamzer from a chayv lavim, but we do hold there's an Easter mamzer from a chiyuv kare. He says, so maybe that's what they mean. When they say umodim, we agree in that case. So the Gemara says, hatatani lala kaman. But we learn later on in the Mishnah, daf mem tet, which is, I think, daf yomi on Sunday, ezu mamzer kol sheir basar shuvelo yavo de Rabbi Akiva. Who's the mamzer? So Rabbi Akiva says any product of a union that would be subject to a lav. He says, Rabbi Shimon Timni Omer, Kosh Chevin Alav, Kari B'dei Shemayim, Balachi Yidvar. But the Talmud Mishnah says, Rabbi Shimon Timni says, if the prohibition is an Isur Kare, then you're Chayav for it. And then there's another opinion in the Mishnah, which is not quoted here, but you'll see in Daf Mem Tet, Rabbi Shimon says if it's a Chi of Mita, then it's a Mamzer. So the Gemara says, so if the Tana is teaching me that later on, he doesn't need to teach me it here. So the Gemara says, "V'dilma kasakin l'tana k'rav Shimon HaTimni." Maybe the Tana here wants to anonymously state an opinion. It was the Chachamim say. The Chachamim said. The Chachamim, like the whole group, Chachamim say, which is a type of like Stam Mishnah, because because he wants to do it like Rav Shimon HaTimni. So Im Kain, in other words, to emphasize that the halakha is that way. So Im Kain Litni Shar Chai Be'Kritot. So if that's the case, so that I thought the Tana should say that Shar Chai Be'Kritot, their motive, but I list them or the way the Arsul said, like the list of the Shar Chai Be'Kritot, I thought it just means that instead of saying that, you know, you married the relative of your Grusha, you say, you know, you it was a union with Shar Chai Be'Kritot. So Krovet Grusha Lamali. So why would they mention that case of Krovet Grusha To? So Elish Mamina Ayriba. So we've seen that it must be that Rabbi Akiva was discussing that case. Otherwise, we can't figure out why you mentioned this specific black case. But Dimali Olam Lo Ayriba. Maybe no, Taki didn't discuss that case, which is the way we're going to stay with. But I didn't find a Maxir Grusha To, but I'll say for Lutato, Krovet Grusha To. In other words, he mentions three cases, Rabbi Akiva does. That's Maxir Grusha To, he takes back his Grusha. He's no say chalutzato. He marries his chalutza or krovat chalutzato. The only one of those cases that he leaves out is krovat grushato. He says tani nami krovat grushato. So therefore, the chachamim brought up krovat grushato. In other words, Rabbi Kiva's magish. I hold a chiv lav. It's a mom's there, but in those cases. Like the one that's like a pregnant absence is Krovat Grushato. Because I told you about Grusha, and I told you about Chalutza, and I have every aspect of it, except Masir Krovat Grushato. So the Gemara says, so that's why the Chami mentioned that case. So he says, Ella Krovat Grushato Rabbi Kiva Havi Mamzer. So must be then that the Krovat Chalutza Rabbi Kiva is a Mamzer. So Amr Chibra Amr Yochanan, I tell Rabbi Kiva, why is Rabbi Kiva say some moms there? Amr Kro, Beit Chalitzanal, Achtuv Kro Beito. The Torah calls, in other words, when he does Chalitza, the Torah calls the widow Beit. In other words, his Beit Chalitzanal, that implies like his wife. So according to Rabbi Kiva, you know, she is the dinum of his wife, and just like he can't remarry the wife, and it's a prohibition. I mean, clearly you can't. You know, once you do the chalitza, you can't remarry this woman, but you can't marry your wife's relatives. She's called a bayit, and so that's why Rabbi Kiva says it's like a lav and the mela. Therefore, the offspring are considered mamzer according to Rabbi Kiva. Okay, let me just see one thing quickly, then I got to run. One second. Yeah. Okay. I'm ready to go on. I have very little time, so I have to keep going. Okay. So now the Gemara says on the bottom line, I'm Rabbi Yosef and Rav Shimon bar Rebbe, komodim maxir grushato. Now we're shifting gears to another case. Maxir grushato is you were married to Rachel, you divorced her. She remarried somebody else. That marriage terminated, and then you remarried her. So he says, so we said, Maxir Grushato, so Am Rabbi Yosef, Am Rishim Rebbe, Komon Maxir Grushato, term page, Shavlad, Pagum Le Kahuna. So Maxir Grushato, again, that's where I'm violating a law. So according to Rabbi Akiva, the offspring is Mamzer. But according to Rabbi Shimon HaTimni, it's not a Mamzer. But even if I hold it's not a Mamzer, everybody agrees that the Vlad is at least tainted, is what the Gemara wants to say. He says, Pagum Lakuna. So Rashi says, if the offspring is a girl, that girl is barred from marrying a Kohen. That's the Pagum Lakuna. So Man HaKol Modim, who's everybody agrees? Shimon HaTimni. It was Shimon HaTimni who says that the bar is a Chiv Karet. It's not a Chiv Karet. You're not going to be a Hamam Zerus. He says, there's no Chiv Mamzer from Lav. Nihid the Mamzer Lahavi Pagum Miyahavi. Nevertheless, the offspring is considered tainted based on a kavachomer, and we're going to learn the kavachomer right now. These are sad situations to really even think about and discuss. It's, you know, so many things happen. All right, so it says here, mi almana. From an almana is a widow who marries a kohen gadol. Uma almana kohen gadol she'in yisrasha v'bekol. So the almana, if she would violate halacha and marry the kohen gadol, so she's not prohibited on anybody else in the world except the Kohen Gadol. She's Almana. Anybody else can marry her except the Kohen Gadol. He says, Bana Pagum, her offspring is considered tainted, meaning that any offspring she has with the Kohen Gadol, he'll be halal. He's tainted in that sense. Zushi Surah Shabbat Kol. this woman who is the Grusha means, doesn't mean like in the whole world, but it means everybody is subject to this lav of Masir Grushato. Everybody, if a person's married, divorces his wife, she marries somebody else, comes back, that's a lav that applies to everyone who says, Eino Dinshe Bana Pagum. So certainly her offspring should be tainted. Okay, that's the halacha. Now that's going to take us through the rest of the Amud. That's the Kal Vachomer that Rav Yosef, in the name of Rav Shimon Rebbe, is learning. That there's a Kal Vachomer that teaches me that the offspring of a Masir Grushato should be tainted. And if it's a daughter, that she can't marry a Kohen. Okay? Now let's take a look. And we had it from the Almana. Now we're going to ask a series of questions against this Kal Vachomer. So we're going to ask three questions against the Kal Vachomer. The first question, Ikul Mifrach means I have a Kal Vachomer, but it's true by the Almana, but the Kohen Gadol, certainly it's going to be true by the Masir Grushato. So it means Masir Grushato is much worse, because Almana was limited to the Kohen Gadol. Masir Grushato is everybody. He says, Ikul Mifrach, Mal Almana Shekin Hiatma Mechalalet. The Almana is herself defiled or desecrated by having relations with the Kohen Gadol, meaning once the Almana has relations with the Kohen Gadol, even if the Kohen Gadol tomorrow dies, she's prohibited to ever marry a Kohen. So she's permanently, you know, has sort of like the mark of Cain against her. He says, but the Grusha, so the Grusha, there's the Masir Grusha, there's no taint that more than she had before that attends to her. He says, that's one thing. That's question one against that. So that question rips apart the Kal Vachomer. Kal Vachomer is true by year. It's only true by year. But here we have something where the Almana has a Chomer over the Grusha. But oh, he toivaki. So the question is toivahi. They translate in the RSL, she's rejected. Toivahi, I usually think of as abomination, but it's like she's rejected. The Torah, in other words, you can have all your Kal Vachomer from here till tomorrow. But if the Torah tells me the opposite, the Torah wins out over the Kal Vachomer. So the Torah says, Toevahi, she's rejected. The Ein Banea Toevin, her offspring are not rejected. So so much for the Kal Vachomer. This demon is Toevahi. So we have two nails in the coffin with this Kal Vachomer. One is that the Almana is herself, you know, desecrated or a curse to her, not with the Grusha. And secondly, the Pasuk says, Toevahi. And then the third nail in the coffin. Oh, Tani, in addition to which I learned in the Brisa, we think that there's a Brisa that goes against this Kal Vachomer. Hamachazir Grushato, if a person remarries his Grusha, Banose Chalusato, or he marries the woman that he did Chalitza with, Banose Kruvat Chalusato, or he marries the woman, the relative of the Chalutza, Rabbi Kiva Mer Ein Loba Kiddushin, Venus Rechei Menoget, the Kiddushin are not Tope. So according to Rabbi Kiva, if you violate a law, the offspring is a mamzer. If you violate a law, the kiddushin are not toefes. In other words, there's no marriage, and she doesn't require a get. He says the heap sula uvlada pasula. We have to clarify. She's unfit, and her offspring are unfit. The kofin oto lahotzi, and we force him to divorce her. He says the chachamim omri. We want to focus on the chachamim right now. Yesh lo ba kiddushin. No, he does have kiddushin, and he does kiddushin. In Akanami, they're married. With three men of get, she needs a get. The heap sheru uvlada kasher. She, the woman, is Shera, and the Vlad is Kasher. So again, so focusing, one of the cases we said was Machzir Grushato. So within the sheet of the Chachamim of a Machzir Grushato, she's Shera, and the Vlad is Kasher. So Laman, so who are we talking about in terms of the Vlad being Kasher? Lav Likahuna. Are we not saying that the Vlad is Kasher for Kuna? So in other words, we said Machzir Grushato, we said the Vlad is Pasal Likahuna. But here in the Brisa, it says the Vlad is kasher. We think it's kasher for Kuhuna. Lo, lekahal. So the Gemara says, no. It means that the Vlad is kasher to marry other Jews. He says, I hachi, he ksheir leman. So if the Vlad kasher means he can come to kahal. So then presumably we're going to interpret the whole Brisa consistently. So it says that she's ksheir leman. Ilim et lekahal, shita. That seems obviously that the woman can enter the kahal. Does it make sense because she engaged in illicit sexual relationship, in other words, a forbidden sexual relationship, that she can't marry a Jew anymore? That seems we never heard that. By her, it only makes sense for Kuhuna. When we dehi Lakuna, Vlad Anami Lakuna. So the Vlad sounds like also for Lakuna. So the verse is Mediaria. Who says, Hakidita, Bahakidita? Each one could be understood differently. In other words, the Vlad, we're saying, in other words, we're asking a kasha from the Brisa, but the Gemara is somewhat refuting it. In other words, the Gemara wants to say that that the Vlad is talking about, I misspoke. He's saying that when it talks about the Vlad, it means the Vlad is permissible to come Bekahal. He says when it speaks about the mother, right. So it means that the blood is kashrut kam bekahal. That would be in conformity with the statement we had originally in the Gemara. He's but it's pasal lakuna, and she is lakuna. No, in other words, she's kashrut lakuna, and the blood is kashrut lakal. He says haki nami mistabra. So that's logical, the katani ratio, because we learned the ratio of the brisa. Hipsul Vlada Pasul. That was in the Shita of the Tana Rabbi Akiva. Hipsul Laman. So who is she Pasul for, according to Rabbi Akiva? Ilayim Lakahal, Mishum Dizami, if that doesn't make sense, that she would be Pasul Lakahal because she engaged in a forbidden sexual relationship. Ipsul Lakahal, Elav Lakuna. Vlada Pasul Laman. Ilayim Lakuna, Halakal Kasher. So if we say it means for the Kuna, but she's the Kasher for the Kahal, Alam Rabbi Akiva, Vlad Mamzer. Rabbi Akiva says the Vlad is a Mamzer. So it must mean that we're speaking about the mother.
When he says pasul for God, he means pasul for cow. The mother, when he says
pasul,
he means
pasul for Una. Yeah, but the Rekun's blood is a mom's here. Oh, so right. He's pastel called. Right. Okay. So he says.
Quick question.
I've got to keep moving. I don't have time for the question. 1 second. He says, I'm going to be keeping blood moms here. Elapshita lakahal. Right. It means Resha, Hakadith, Vakadith. So it means in the beginning of the Brisa, I understand each one is talking about a different element. In other words, the mother is talking about that she's pastel for the. The mother is pastel the kahuna. And the child is pasul for the kahal. And so the seifa is talking about that the mother in the seifa is kasher for kuna, and the child is kasher for the kahal. So seifa nami hakidi vakidita. Okay, so the point is that braisa is not a kasha against the original statement we had, but we still have two other statements that we have to deal with. So vahitoiva nami, so it's going back in reverse order, vahitoiva nami, hitoiva v'ain sarata toiva. So if he's master Grusha Taum, the limud from the pasuk could be that she's rejected, but her tsara is not rejected. Aval banea toevin, but the offspring could be rejected. They could be mamzerim. That's that we've resolved. El almana kasha. But the original question about the almana is, it was we had a kavachomer based on the almana. If it's true for the almana that the offspring is prohibited for to marry a Kohen if she's a daughter, so then certainly it's true for the Grusha. So he says, Mama Mana Shkini Atma Chalelet, Eli Yitmar Hachi Yitmar. So now the Gemara revises the original statement. This is the third white line. I'm Rabbi Yosef, I'm Rishon B'Rebbe, Hakol Modin B'Val Chai B'Kritot, that the statement was, everybody agrees if you have relations with a Chiv Kare, Shavlad Pagum, that the offspring is pagum, is tainted. Man hakol modim, who would be everybody agrees? In other words, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon HaTimni hold, if it's a chiv kare, that the blood will be a mamzer. So what does it mean that everyone agrees that blood is the least tainted? That's Rabbi Yoshua. Da'afakav da'am Rabbi Yoshua in mamzer mechai v'krita. Rabbi Yoshua holds, only a mamzer if it's a chiv mita. So he says it's not a mamzer in this case. Nihi the mamzer lohavi pagum miyahavi mikavakom riyamana. But it would be pagum from the almana. Uma almana the kohen gadol she'in yisra shavah b'kol, but not pagum. Just like the almana of the kohen gadol, the yisra is a limited yisra. It's just for the kohen gadol. But nevertheless, the offspring is pagum. Zush yisra shavah b'kol. This one, which is a chiyuv karet, everybody is subject to the yisra karet. So he says, "Eino dinish b'na pagum." But he tem mal almana shekin hi atzma mechalelet. Maybe the almana is different because she herself is desecrated as a result of relations with the kohen gadol. So she can't marry Cohen. Hachanami came and shibba'ala asazona. So here too, if a woman is engaged in illicit relations and it was a chiv karet, So she gets a din in Zona and she can't marry a Kohen anymore. All right, just three more lines, I'll be it, and then we'll open up for 1 minute of questions. Amar Rabbi Rachan Rabbi Yochanan, Kum Odim, Be'ebed Bevei Kochavim, Abat Israel. So Rabbi Yochanan says everybody agrees if it's a slave, an Ebed Kanani, or a non-Jew that has relations with a Jewish woman, Shavlad Mamzer, that the blood would be a Mamzer. So Mana Kum Modim, what does everybody agree? That's Shimon HaTimni. The Avogad Amar Shimon HaTimni and Mamzer Mechavi Lavin, even though Shimon HaTimni holds that it's not a Mamzer if you violate a law, Hani Mile, top line of them, hey, Mechavi Lavin, top Sibuhu Kedushin. In other words, if it's Shimon HaTimni says that means if I violate a law, but the Kedushin would be Toface. In other words, I violate a law, let's say, you know, a Machzir Grushato. I'm married to a woman, she marries somebody else, and then I do Kedushin with her. So I'm violating a law. So Shimon HaTimni holds that we're married. I didn't violate a law, but we're married. So Shimon HaTimni holds that the offspring is not a Mamzer. But if it's a lav where the Kedushin are not toface, he holds it is a Mamzer. If I have a non-Jew, so there's no Kedushin between a non-Jew and a Jewish woman, and nevertheless it's a lav to marry the non-Jew or the Eved, Rashi goes through the Pesukim, so he holds, even though that's a lav, in other words, even though Shimon HaTimni normally holds, it has to be at least a Chiv Kare, but in this he's Moda, that the Chiv Lav, that the offspring would be a Mamzer, according to Shimon HaTimni, with a non-Jew. Okay, I have time for 30 seconds of question, then I got to go. Any questions? Any questions for the cyber world?
Yes. What happens to the Kohen who marries an Almana? Does he lose his position?
The Kohen, you mean that the Kohen Gadol,
marries an Almana?
I can't say for sure, but I can't imagine they leave him around as a Kohen Gadol. Simon, can you stick around, Rabbi Basileli? No, I meant for Mariv. Yeah. Can you stick around? Oh, okay. That's all I have, Malka. Okay.
Okay.
Chag Sameach. Yeah, okay, you too, Chag Sameach, everybody. Let me just end recording.